Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, River of Life, River of Death. The Ganges and India Future is a work of narrative nonfiction and environmental reportage by Victor Mallet, a longtime Financial Times journalist and former South Asia Bureau chief. The book examines the Ganges as a physical river, a sacred presence in Hindu life, and a test case for modern India capacity to manage public health, urban growth, industrial development, and ecological decline. Mallet follows the river from its Himalayan source near Gaumukh to the Delta and the Bay of Bengal, combining travel writing, interviews, history, religion, science, and policy analysis. His central concern is the contradiction between reverence and neglect. A river worshipped as a goddess is also burdened with sewage, industrial effluent, reduced flow, and institutional failure. The book is not only about water pollution. It uses the condition of the Ganges to ask whether India can reconcile economic ambition, democratic politics, religious culture, and environmental survival. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Ganges as both sacred symbol and damaged public utility. One of the book's main strengths is its treatment of the Ganges as more than a polluted watercourse. Mallet shows that the river functions simultaneously as a goddess, a pilgrimage route, a source of irrigation, a carrier of waste, a site of cremation, and a foundation of regional identity. This layered role explains why the Ganges is difficult to manage through ordinary environmental policy alone. A technocratic plan for sewage treatment or industrial regulation must operate within a culture in which bathing in the river, scattering ashes, and honoring Ganga as purifying are deeply embedded practices. Mallet does not reduce religious belief to superstition, but he highlights the practical contradiction that a sacred river can be ritually revered while being materially abused. This distinction matters because pollution is not caused only by ignorance. It also results from urban expansion, inadequate infrastructure, weak enforcement, and social habits that separate spiritual purity from biological contamination. The book, therefore, frames the Ganges as a public utility under extreme stress, but also as a civilizational symbol whose condition exposes tensions between faith, governance, and modern science. Secondly, a source-to-sea journey that links geography with history and politics, Mallet structures the book around a physical descent along the Ganges. Beginning near the Himalayan glacier, where the river emerges cold and clear and moving through pilgrimage towns, industrial centers, fertile plains, major cities, and finally the mangrove delta. This geographic method gives the book coherence while allowing it to move across disciplines. The upper river raises questions of glaciers, hydropower, pilgrimage, and mountain ecology. The middle plains reveal the pressures of dense population, agriculture, sewage, and industrial production. Cities such as Varanasi and Kanpur bring together ritual life, tannery pollution, municipal failure, and competing claims about modernization. Downstream, the delta introduces issues of silt, salinity, climate vulnerability, wildlife, and the shared fate of India and Bangladesh. The journey format also lets Mallet compare ancient and modern understandings of the river. Myth, colonial engineering, nationalist politics, and contemporary development schemes are not treated as separate subjects, they accumulate along the river course. This approach makes the book accessible to general readers while preserving the complexity of the Ganges as an ecological system shaped by centuries of human intervention. Thirdly, pollution as a chain of sewage, industry, low flow, and disease risk. The book emphasizes that the Ganges crisis cannot be explained by one pollutant or one irresponsible group. Mallet describes a system in which untreated sewage, industrial discharge, agricultural runoff, cremation practices, solid waste, and reduced water flow interact. Sewage is especially significant because many settlements along the river lack adequate treatment capacity, and existing facilities can fail through poor maintenance, unreliable electricity, or weak local administration. Industrial pollution, including waste from sectors such as tanning, adds toxic substances that are harder to remove and easier to deny or disperse. Reduced flow worsens the problem because a river with less water has less capacity to dilute or carry away contaminants. Mallet also discusses biological risks, including bacteria and concerns about antibiotic resistance, connecting river pollution to public health rather than treating it as only an aesthetic or spiritual loss. His reasoning is important. Cleaning the Ganges is not simply a matter of removing visible dirt. It requires intercepting waste before it enters the river, maintaining treatment systems over time, regulating industries consistently, and preserving enough natural flow for the river to function as an ecosystem. Fourthly, why government cleanup campaigns repeatedly fall short. A central political theme of River of Life, River of Death, is the gap between official promises and measurable improvement. Mallet reviews the long history of government efforts to clean the Ganges, including initiatives before and during the government of Narendra Modi. whose public commitment to the river gave the issue renewed national prominence. The book suggests that failure is rarely caused by a lack of slogans or announcements. The harder problems are fragmented responsibility, poor coordination between central and state authorities, weak municipal capacity, corruption, delays, and projects designed to secure funding rather than solve local problems. River cleanup requires continuous operation, not only construction. A treatment plant that is inaugurated but not maintained, connected to drains, supplied with power, or monitored for performance does little good. Mallet also shows that stakeholders disagree about causes and remedies. Bureaucrats, priests, industrialists, activists, engineers, and residents often have different incentives. This political analysis gives the book practical force. It portrays environmental restoration as an administrative and democratic challenge, where technical knowledge must be matched by accountability, enforcement, finance, and long-term public pressure. Lastly, the river future as a test of climate resilience and development choices. Mallet treats the Ganges not only as a present pollution emergency, but also as a future stress test for India's development model. The river basin supports hundreds of millions of people, and its waters are tied to irrigation, drinking supply, fisheries, navigation, religious tourism, and biodiversity. Climate change complicates each of these uses. Himalayan glaciers, monsoon variability, floods, droughts, and sea level pressures in the delta all affect the river system, though in different ways along its length. Dams, barrages, groundwater extraction, and canals further alter flows, sometimes helping agriculture and cities while weakening the river's own ecological resilience. The downstream delta, including the Sundarbans region, illustrates how human vulnerability and wildlife habitat are linked through sediment, salinity, storms, and changing water patterns. This future-oriented argument broadens the book beyond a familiar story of dirty water. Mallet asks whether India can pursue growth without exhausting the natural systems that sustain it. The Ganges becomes a measure of whether infrastructure, public health, religious practice, agriculture, and environmental law can be aligned before ecological decline becomes more difficult and expensive to reverse. River of Death is best suited to readers interested in India, environmental politics, water management, public health, religion, and narrative journalism. It will be useful for general readers who want a clear introduction to why the Ganges matters, as well as for students and policy-minded readers looking for a grounded account of how ecological problems become entangled with institutions, beliefs, and economic incentives. The practical benefit of the book is that it discourages simplistic solutions. It shows that river restoration depends on sewage infrastructure, industrial enforcement, urban planning, river flow, credible monitoring, and political accountability. The intellectual benefit is broader. The Ganges becomes a lens for understanding modern India contradictions, including devotion and neglect, ambition and administrative weakness, rapid growth and ecological cost. Compared with more technical books on water pollution, Mallet offers a wider cultural and historical frame. Compared with purely spiritual or travel-oriented books on the Ganges, he keeps returning to evidence, public health, and governance. Its distinctive value lies in combining on-the-ground reporting with an unusually broad view of the river as sacred geography, working infrastructure, endangered ecosystem, and national test. The result is a readable but serious account of why saving the Ganges is inseparable from the future of India itself. If you would like to support Victor Mallet, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.